local talk about local issues. It's the Gary Bouton Show on the AJR News Network.
1 week to go before Christmas. Week and a day. How do you... Is it a week or a week and a day? I don't know. A week from tomorrow is Christmas. How's that sound? Welcome in this morning. Glad to have you along. Spike Nesmith is with us in studio. Mike King handling our phones. Brittany Murray. News duties. Happy holidays to all and Merry Christmas as we enter this last week before Christmas. Today's got nothing Christmassy in it, Spike. National Maple Syrup Day. A lot of maple syrup made in West Virginia. Now, we've had somebody on our show, but there are several sites where they're doing that here in West Virginia. And today is also Wright Brothers Day, first in flight. Kitty Hawk, North. Have you ever been over in that area? This time of the year, windy. There's no reason not to believe that they would have picked that site to do their test flights. It's windy in the fall, early winter at North Carolina. I was over there in September, and it's breezy. The Chamber of Commerce may not be happy with me, but frankly, breezy to the extent that it wasn't real enjoyable at times. And one other plug, a great book on the Wright Brothers by David McCullough, if anybody ever wants to learn about how they got into it. Incredible. They were not like trained college engineers. They were bicycle guys and just did almost all of this on their own, studied, watched birds in flight. Amazing. Great story. Great. If you really want to know how they kind of learned to do this. Okay. On our show today, we're going to talk about the refurbishing, I'm going to call it, of a ecological park and pond at Robert C. Byrd High School. This was set up. This was a big deal when the school opened a little over 20 years ago, but it fell into disrepair, and apparently some folks have come together and they're going to rebuild it and use it for several purposes. And we've got a couple folks standing by from Robert C. Byrd High School that we'll talk to in just a moment. Tina Yoke is going to join us. Always a good time of the year to get an update on the United Way campaign. And we'll talk about some of the others going on in the area. But in this case, the United Way of Harrison County and how they're doing. Probably 2-3 months to go yet in their campaign, which is very important. Supports about 24-25 agencies here in the community. And then we'll have a little fun in our final segment. We'll talk to a couple folks from Stonewall Resort. They're doing a holiday Partners in Education program with one of the schools in Lewis County. And then they've got what they're calling 4 over-the-top events, celebrations, parties going on December 28th through New Year's Eve at Stonewall Resort. Several different things, and we'll chat with Scott Cochran and Stephanie Wolverton about that. First up this morning, on the line, we've got Colby Alonzo, science instructor at Robert C. Byrd High School here in Clarksburg, and Colonel Joel Sandy, who's an ROTC or the ROTC instructor at Robert C. Byrd High School. Folks, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I didn't get to talk directly to the two of you. Do I have your rank correct, Colonel Sandy?
Yes, you do, sir.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure I got that right. I'm going to start, however, with Colby, hopeful that you can give us a little background. This is an ecological park at Robert C. Byrd that, as I recall, because my son was one of the first students to transfer over there from Washington Irving High School, it was kind of a big deal when they first opened the school. It was built around some old strip mine retention ponds. Does that sound right, Colby?
Yeah, we actually have one larger pond and a couple smaller ones that catch water off the hill.
And those were built when the actual strip mining was being done, obviously prior to the high school, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What was it? Do you know what it was used for back then, Colby? Did they have use it for teaching and lessons back then?
Yes, and over time, I think they had Hooked on Fishing. The elementary schools would come over, and the science classes would use it, but over time, the water level has dropped a drastic amount, and it's just deteriorated.
Okay. So it was used as a teaching lab back then, and
yes.
Marcel Malfrigeau, who I think was a assistant superintendent, used it for his Hooked on Fishing. Yeah, that would make sense. So how, when, why, how did we build this thing back into a project where we're going to try to put it back to its original condition?
A couple years ago, when I first started at Bird, I wrote a letter trying to just get the pond in a little bit better shape, but not, we couldn't get anything off the ground. And then ROTC stepped in last year to help with their service learning project, and we just got the right people moving, and it's taken off.
And again, do you, Colby, do you know, why did it get abandoned? What happened? I mean, you said that the water level started dropping, but any other reason that you can point the finger at that they just kind of let it go?
Our overflow pipe rusted, so the water started draining out, and we have a lot of sediment buildup in the bottom of the pond.
Okay. Let me go to Colonel Sandy. Colonel, do you know when the idea started to surface to restore the park?
It was a couple years ago, like Colby said, and ROTC has a service project every year. And my cadets came to me and said, can we get involved in this because we want to beautify the school. And they also want to get involved with Nutter Fort and the Hooked on Fishing. And I said it would be a great idea. We went to Mr. Gibson, our principal, and
yeah.
He put a committee together.
And there are quite a few partners. Can you explain how they were recruited? And you don't have to explain every one of them, but what some of the roles they will have in restoring this?
Yes, sir. It was Mr. Gibson, our principal, again, got everyone together. Leadership Harrison was really the one that got it off to a good start.
Okay.
Thrasher Engineering was involved. All-Star Ecology was involved out of Fairmont. We've had Intero involved, and also the Clarksburg Water Board.
And the Army Corps of Engineers will have a role as well?
Yes, they came down from Pittsburgh and did a survey to make sure we were all following the permit process, or the correct permit process.
Okay. And it'll actually be used for some of your junior ROTC exercises and training. What exactly do you do?
Well, we have a one-rope bridge site where we actually put a rope across the pond when we're finished so they can learn how to cross on with a Swiss seat on and a carabiner. I also have four Zodiac boats that we use that we will have races around the pond for my Raider team.
Okay. Colby, let me jump back to you. What kind of curriculum do you see being created when the ecological park is restored?
We use the pond to get water samples. We can identify the fish, water tests, soil tests. We do microscope activities with the water.
Okay.
So with raising the water level and increasing the life around and in the pond will help increase the curriculum.
Yeah, the plant life around the pond area is important to study as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, this, when it's fully restored, will be for community use as well. I didn't realize that people actually fished out of there a while ago, but there's going to be fishing, and there's also a trail right around that area?
Yeah, there is a trail down from the school to the pond, but we're looking to expand that as well.
And Colonel, can you still fish in the pond today? Well, I guess you could. I don't know how much luck you'd have, the condition it's in. What part, let's go to your cadets. And am I using that term correctly? Is it cadets in the junior ROTC?
You are, sir.
Okay.
My cadets have a service learning project that has five goals for this year. The first goal was to remove the wildlife or the fish from the pond safely. And WVU Environmental Sciences came down with a boat and a shocker, and they shocked the fish. It didn't harm them, but it just kind of stunned them. Now, my cadets were in little boats, and they scooped them out of the pond, and they measured them and got the correct species, and then they put them into another pond for safekeeping so we can find
it. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, because I was going to ask, because I knew that the cadets, one of the first roles of the cadets was to be part of a rescue mission when the pond was dredged. So that's what they did, and they've already done that?
Yes, so they did it in October. It was wet and cold, but they toughened up and they got it done.
Okay. What species of fish did they find?
We have largemouth bass, bluegill, pumpkin seed, a bluegill hybrid, and we had one koi.
Is that right? Somebody must have left you a gift.
Yeah, someone put in there. It's rather large.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple of snails. We have a large population of baby fish, which means hopefully the water quality is pretty healthy and we'll stay that way when we put the fish back in.
Now, where, either one of you, where's the second pond? I wasn't aware of that. How difficult was it to move them from one pond to another?
It wasn't that hard.
Okay.
It's actually right behind the larger pond, behind our pavilion. It's covered in duckweed most of the time, so you probably wouldn't notice it if you...
Okay, yeah, because I've been around there before, but I wasn't aware of an additional pond. So
it's a pretty good-sized pond.
Okay.
It actually, we have the ability to drain that small pond into the big pond.
Okay.
To then study that area.
We're talking with Colby Alonzo, a science instructor at Robert C. Byrd High School, and also ROTC instructor Colonel Joel Sandy about kind of restoring the ecological park there that sits just below the high school. It's an area right as you drive up the hill, correct? It's that.
It's
directly in front of you as you drive up the. Is it Robert Byrd Way? I think is the name of the road there. And I think, Colonel Sandy, we cut you off a little bit. You said you had four or five missions for the cadets. What are some of the other things that you'll do now related to this project?
Well, the next goal is they have to put up a silt fence, like a retaining area, so they can take the sediment out. The next will be to help restore or rebuild the pavilion. And the fourth one will be to fish sponsor the elementary school kids at Nutter Fort for a Hooked on Fishing in April.
Okay. And will the pond be restocked once everything is done?
Yes, sir. We'll be restocked. We're going to restock it with trout, so they're kind of easy to catch for the elementary school kids.
Okay. I mean, I know you're going to move the fish that you saved back into it, but I figured there'd probably be additional fish added. Where are the funds coming for this?
Well, the county Board of Education has given us $25,000, and we've used that this year, partial, but other donations are mostly in labor and services, like Thrasher Engineering has developed a very good architectural plan for this. All-Star Ecology did a 400-page or 350-page permit process to the state, so that's where they're donating.
Yeah, that's a good bit of work. We're just about out of time. I got a couple quick questions I wanted to ask. This is probably some good engineering experience for these young cadets, Colonel?
Yes, it is. We talk about how the water levels work.
Yeah.
Still rebuild the intake and what materials you use.
And Colby, I'll wrap up with you. Are you going to have a school site or somewhere that might provide video photos that kind of document the work being done as it occurs?
We have documentation of everything that we've done so far. It will go up on the school site, and it's also on the City of Clarksburg site.
Okay.
There are pictures from the first part, and then pictures from when we pulled the fish out.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting project, and I'm glad to see that they're going to be using that again, because I know that a lot of the administrative staff back 20 years ago when the school opened was very excited about having that as part of the campus. And it's good that you're involved and you're getting a lot of volunteer help from the community. And we appreciate you both joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we return, Tina Yoke will join us from the United Way of Harrison County. We'll find out how their campaign is going.
You're listening to The Gary Bowden Show on the AJR News Network.
And this is a huge time of the year for United Way campaigns all around the country, and particularly here in north central West Virginia, where there are campaigns still going on. And I think Mon Preston, Marion County. Let me stop and introduce Tina Yoke, who joined us in studio with the Harrison County campaign.
Good morning.
Still good morning to you. Still smiling. That's always good in the midst of. This is one of the biggest goals, the local campaign, or is the biggest
it
ever?
It is the biggest.
Okay,
yes.
That's what I thought. Over 900,000?
Yes, 935.
Yeah. All right, we mentioned Mon Preston is still going. Marion County, which I believe is doing well. I've been kind of tracking that. Marion County's doing well. Is it Lewis Upshur? Do they have a combined, or is it more counties than that? I can't remember if there's one other campaign or whether it's two, because there's... I know Braxton, Gilmer, I don't know if they're all combined with Lewis Upshur. I always forget. But
yeah, I'm not real sure.
Anyway, support your local United Way campaign. Cause I did read about one of those right there in some of those central counties was struggling a little bit. So I want to make sure when we're talking United Way with Tina and talking about the campaign here in Harrison County that we also are paying attention to some of the other campaigns going on in our area and who also are out there soliciting dollars this time of the year. Okay, so Tina, well, let's before we get into what's going on now and what's coming up, what are some of the success stories here leading up to the holidays with your campaign?
We've done a great job as far as bringing some more people into our United Way family. We've had some new donors, individually that have given who haven't given in the past. So we're very happy about that. It's been a slow and steady.
Any recent events that surprised you?
Every one of our events, we were able to raise more money than we did last year. So I think that's a success.
Well, particularly when you raise your goal, that's a success and an important piece of the puzzle, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So we've had good turnout from the community, and we've been able to raise more money. So, yeah, every event's been stronger than in the past, and that's our goal.
All right. Well, this week, in all likelihood, will be the busiest of the season at the Meadowbrook Mall where you do holiday gift wrapping.
Right.
Just for donations. How many folks do you have that share time doing that?
You know, we have to cover that booth from Black Friday until Christmas Eve.
I was going to ask you. Yeah. I thought it went back several weeks. I wasn't sure it went all the way back to Black Friday.
Right, and we're there during the mall hours, and our member agencies cover days, but then we also have several volunteers and community groups that step up and help us cover that time. It really takes a lot of volunteers.
I was going to check to see if your fingers were raw yet. Have you chipped in? Have you had to?
I'm working Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay. Not that you don't have plenty to do, Tina. We don't want to suggest that you're loafing here by not being there at the mall. Have they been busy?
You know, it's been a little slow, but we're hoping that things will pick up this week.
Yeah. How late do you go on Christmas Eve? That's great because for guys like me and Spike, you too, will you be shopping on Christmas Eve? Certainly the weekend before Christmas. I don't know if I'll be out on Christmas Eve, but I can almost assure you the weekend... which I don't even want to think about because it's not my favorite thing in the world to shop or go to the mall in the midst of all that mayhem. It's all right. So
somebody will be there till 6 o'clock on Christmas.
On Christmas Eve. All right. I didn't let you answer that. Anything else going on before? Probably not. The week before Christmas, any events?
No.
You wouldn't get anybody to turn out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You do have a party, right? You always, every year, have a party for some of
our Stonewall
bigger givers. Yeah, that's always a nice event. I'll let you explain.
Stonewall Jackson Leadership Reception will be held at Steptoe Johnson Thursday, December the 20th. That is co-sponsored by Steptoe and Johnson, Jenkins Subaru, and the Bridgeport Conference Center. And that's for people who give $500 or more. It's just to show our appreciation to those leaders.
What is the specific goal? We mentioned the highest ever and over 900,000. Yes. What is the number?
935,000.
And the collected number or the donated money to date?
We are just shy of 50%.
Oh, okay.
So we have about 2.5 months to get the remainder.
Is that on par with pace?
It's kind of hard to compare since it's a 10% increase from last year.
Oh, okay.
But we would like to be a little further along, but I have confidence that people are going to step up and
well, it got
help
a little,
us out.
It got a little gut-wrenching last year, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like it every year.
Yeah.
I always say I want to be done by Christmas, and that doesn't happen.
It got a little gut-wrenching. Yes, Gary, thanks for bringing that up, by the way. All right, we're with Tina Yoke, the Executive Director of the United Way of Harrison County, checking in on their campaign, which is so important to the community. That, and I always get the number, 24, 25 member agencies?
26.
26. Right on the money. We're going to take a break. More with Tina after we check headlines around the state of West Virginia. Time for your Metro News update.
And now, back to the Gary Boughton Show on the AJR News Network.
We're talking with Tina Yoke, the Executive Director of the United Way of Harrison County. And football jargon, you're kind of heading into the fourth quarter here and have a few points to make up. Is that
That's about right.
Close enough? So January, February, what are some of the things you have planned to do going forward?
Our biggest fundraiser is the wing eating competition held at Buffalo Wild Wings, and this year it is going to be on Wednesday, February the 6th.
Okay, so that's still a little bit. People have plenty of time to, get in shape, start doing their workouts. You made a boatload of money on that.
Like, we did.
If I recall.
Yes, we made $120,000.
How much?
$120,000. So.
Yeah, that wasn't that wasn't based on a per wing. Well, I guess it was if you take into account that a couple of people paid a lot for their wings, right?
There's two ways to win: who eats the most wings, and then also who raises the most money. And of course, that's how we make our money.
When you've been here before, we've talked about the dynamics of the campaign changing a little bit, whereby 20 years ago, it was built with volunteers, many of whom went into businesses or tried to engage officers of those businesses to let our people, to let United Way people come in and pitch employees about doing payroll deduction to give a little bit of your paycheck every week, every 2 weeks, whatever it might be, to United Way. Do you really even do that much of that anymore? I know it's changed some.
Yeah, it has changed some, but fortunately we do have some strong businesses who still allow us to come and do employee presentation, and that's a huge help.
That's still a, I wasn't sure if you were doing nearly as much of that, but you, you do rely a lot more on these events like the wing eating, the runs, the, whatever than you used to.
Yes, we, we want to get out into the community. So it also helps with fundraisers, but also to help the community learn about United Way and who we are and what we do.
Do you communicate with other executive directors and campaigns to share ideas?
Yes, we get together quarterly. We have a statewide United Way meeting, and we get together and share those experiences with one another.
One of the new bodies related to your campaign, related to United Way, that I was reading about, and I frankly was not even aware of it, was Emerging Leaders.
Yes.
Which I guess Brad Riffey, who works with you, is kind of supervising. When did that come about? How did that come about?
It started right when this campaign kicked off.
Oh, so it is. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's why I hadn't heard about it previously, because it is relatively new.
It's very new. They've had it in other parts of the United States, and we've been wanting to do that for a few years. And I'm very grateful that Brad just took it on, and he's done a great job with it. You know, we have a lot of great leaders, young leaders in our community, and it's just a way for them to get together and not only donate to United Way, but also donate their time and services to worthy causes.
Well, and I think you and I have talked about that before, that you can't be successful using the same people that were the drivers behind the campaign 20, 25 years ago. At some point, there needs to be younger people getting involved, as you said, both donating, volunteering time, that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, the other thing, too, is when you have an Emerging Leaders program, which is, what's the age range that you're kind of soliciting?
20 to 40.
Or recruiting, I'll say.
Right.
those folks eat a lot more at chicken wing contests too, right?
So that's definitely an idea. I didn't think about that, Gary.
Yeah, good to have a lot of dining out events. Do you do as many as you used to? There was one year where you did a dining out event, seemed like every other week, if not even more often.
Yes, we're actually working to get a couple more scheduled for. We hope to have at least two, maybe more in January, and then a few more in February. We'll be announcing those soon.
Okay, good. How's Brad Riffey recruiting these young people?
You know, through word of mouth. Okay. A lot of it happened, too, with Leadership Harrison. He met a lot of great young leaders in his group when he went through Leadership Harrison through the Chamber of Commerce.
That's a program through the Chamber,
yes.
Right? Okay.
And then they've spread the word about the program and have recruited a lot of people.
I read that he set a target of 40 young people under 40.
Yes.
In 2018. And
yes.
He's got about 2 weeks to go. Do you know how he's doing? You know what the number is?
He's doing well. I'm not sure on the number, but I think he'll get there.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Now, will they play a role as we mentioned you're entering the final quarter of the game here.
Right.
Do they still have a role here as you head? What's your targeted end of campaign? Is it Feb or March?
February 28th.
Okay.
At our annual dinner.
Okay. So the emerging leaders will...
Yes.
Be a focus or
yes.
Will be counted on to.
That's going to be a perfect opportunity to recognize those individuals too during our annual dinner.
Yeah. The another big help that I saw started about a week ago, and we'll kind of give them a pat on the back because every week they give people in our community a pat on the back, and that's North Central West Virginia Media and the Exponent Telegram.
Yes.
They're doing, is it daily?
Yes.
Stories about the 26, finally got it right, member agencies. Obviously, that's helpful.
Yes, it is helpful. You know, I told them how much I appreciate it. It's helpful for us, but it's also helpful for the community to learn about the services that are available to them.
Well, I think it's an opportunity for people to see what some of these organizations have names that don't immediately shout, this is what we do in your community.
Right.
So these stories help that. And I think also position those agencies to perhaps recruit additional volunteers who might say, oh, I'd love to teach adults how to read or
exactly.
Whatever the case might be.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things going on in the community. So that's a great way to share those.
Well, Tina, you got to worry about Christmas with the family and campaigning for the United Way. No fun for you during the holiday madness, but we appreciate you coming in and wish you the best and certainly know how important the campaign is. So good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Tina Yolk, Executive Director of the United Way of Harrison County. And again, we remind you, it's not just about the Harrison County campaign. Monongalia, Preston, Marion County, Lewis, Upshur, Braxton, Gilmer, they all have campaigns that we hope you'll support. Time for us to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk to Scott Cochran and Stephanie Wolverton of Stonewall Resort. They've got a couple things going on here leading up to the end of the year, and we'll chat with them right after this break.
Your daily dose of sanity. The Gary Bowden Show on the AJR News Network.
And next up, we welcome Scott Cochran, who's Director of Rooms at Stonewall Resort in Lewis County. Stephanie Wolverton is Executive Administrative Assistant. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Gary.
I was excited to read that things are going over the top at Stonewall this New Year's Eve or several days leading up to New Year's, which is a nice way of explaining that you're going to have a little fun here late in the year.
Absolutely. We're going to party.
Yeah. Let me start with Stephanie, because I wanted to talk about the your Partner in Education program. Obviously, people read and hear all the time about programs where we're doing coats and backpacks and toys, and you're actually doing something a little bit different in partnership with one of the churches there and the elementary school that you support. Explain that to us.
Yes, absolutely. This is our fourth year. We have been partnering with Roanoke Elementary School with our hometown hospitality, and we provide shoes for every student in the school with shoes and winter socks. And we partner with St. Matthew United Methodist Church with this program. And
how did you get connected with that particular church, Stephanie?
This church has stepped up in a huge way, and one of our employees, her husband, was a major factor in hooking us up with this church.
Okay.
They are also in our community. Eunice Latimer is with this church, and her women's club, they actually collect their nickel throughout the year, and they just collect these nickels, and they just really...
That's a heck of a way to do a fundraising campaign, a nickel
it
at
is.
A time. That's tough, Stephanie.
Yes.
But you're,
and
but
they
you
partner
raised...
with some other organizations
okay.
in our community.
Okay.
First Energy Foundation has donated some money towards this campaign, and Buchanan Toyota, and the
okay.
Stonewall State Park Foundation.
You help, but it's like $3,000 for about 160 students. Does that sound about right?
Yes, it is.
And I wouldn't want to be outside this time of the year without good shoes and socks, so it sounds pretty important. You mentioned it's part of your hometown hospitality program. What's that, Stephanie?
This is a committee here at Stonewall Resort that gets our employees out in the community just doing good deeds.
Okay. And this particular program, providing shoes and socks for the children at Roanoke Elementary, can other community members interested still donate to the cause?
Yes, absolutely. If they would like to donate, they can contact me at 304-269-8802 or at my email address, which is swolverton@stonewallresort.com.
Okay, and you're going to throw a party for the kids on Wednesday?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
What will that include?
All these children get to come over here to the resort.
Oh, great.
They get to see our Santa, and they get to watch a movie and get fitted for their shoes.
Okay, well, yeah. That sounds like a good opportunity for all of them. Let me switch gears here and get Scott on the line, because you're going to be a little bit more involved in the entertaining and party portion of the activities leading up to New Year's. Actually, what is it, about 3 or 4 days? It's described as 4 over-the-top New Year's Eve parties. That sounds like fun, Scott.
Absolutely. We plan on a phenomenal 4 days, starting from the 28th, running through the 1st.
Okay. And I think, and I'm taking these items kind of the way they were delivered to me on a press relief, which is kind of back to front. I'm gonna highlight real quick what there's a party with a comedy performance. That's the Fearless Fools, who you've had there on many occasions, right?
That is correct.
Bourbon tasting, Spike. Bourbon,
correct.
Yeah. I'm getting a thumbs up from my producer here that Yangs and Wing, and I guess Yangs and Wings, there will be more than one wing. Yangs and Wing, that wouldn't be over the top at all. And then you have like a ballroom dancing party, dinner and dancing?
That is correct. We have the ballroom dancing, and then we have the Stillwaters package, as well as the Lightburns package
okay.
for the New Year's Eve celebration.
Well, Scott, let's start with the West Virginia's premier comedy troupe, Jason Young and the Fearless Fools. What will they be doing? And they're on Sunday evening, right?
They are on December 30th, and it's kind of a way to close out the year with laughter, friends, and drinks. With a comedy troupe, the Fearless Fools,
yeah,
and they do a live improv comedy show, and this is kind of based off the Whose Line Is It Anyway show. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a TV show that I think started in Britain, and they picked it up here for several years. I don't know how many years, but actually, I've seen the Fearless Fools do this before, and I was a little bit uncertain as to how they might pull it off, and they do a pretty good job. It was pretty funny stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We always have a good time with
them. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about bourbon lovers. You're going to host on Saturday night a tasting event.
That is correct. December 29th, we have the bourbon tasting.
From 6 to 10. That's a lot of tasting of bourbon. I'm liking this, Scott.
You know, once you get the first one down, the others go easily.
Tell us some nice brands. Go ahead and let's rattle off some of the bourbons you'll be featuring.
Well, they are regional and national bourbons.
Okay.
So it's what they bring in. So I'm kind of in a surprise moment here and looking forward to it.
Okay. Because I read like Woodford Reserve.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Blanton's, which is a good one.
That's correct.
Blanton's and Booker's. Wild Turkey Long Branch. Haven't done that one yet. Buffalo Trace. Maker's Mark 40. Okay. So,
Maker's Mark is my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. All right, let's back all the way up to Friday then. And just out of curiosity, Scott, can someone buy like a 3 or 4 day package and go to all of these events?
You certainly can.
You can wing eat, you can taste bourbon, you can dance and then celebrate I missed one, didn't I? No, okay, I think that's every. The comedy group and then the dance. Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we have a room to put you in.
Oh, great. That sounds like a great Friday through Monday night.
It is. It's going to be a great celebration.
Stay right till Tuesday morning. Okay, real quick, explain or tell us about the Yangs and Wings. I presume that has something to do with Yangling.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yinglings is bringing in several other Yinglings beer, and our chef Neville Barr will be doing up the wings.
Okay.
Many different variety of wings.
Okay.
To pair with the Yingling beer.
One of the wing flavors, Spike, is tandoori, T-A-N-D-O-O-R-I. Do you act like you know what that is?
Okay. It's delicious.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel I've missed something here. I don't think I've had that.
Well, you'll have to come out and dance.
Yeah. And then New Year's Eve is, we kind of skipped over it just a hair.
Okay.
New Year's Eve is the actual ballroom dancing event, correct? And dinner?
We do. We have three different New Year's Eve packages. That's
okay.
Correct. We have the ballroom package, which is in the ballroom, and that will be featuring a seafood buffet.
A VIP ballroom package.
Two complimentary drink tickets per person. The band will be Hollerwood that night, and it should be a really good fun night.
I'm going to let folks check with the resort to get the rest of the details. I would agree. It does sound like some over-the-top celebration going on for merely 4 days at Stonewall Resort. So what a good way to wrap up a good year.
When we do it right.
Yeah. Well, Scott, we appreciate you joining us. Stephanie, if you're still there, we thank you for joining us, and good luck with your party with the kids.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary, your listeners can reach us at stonewallresort.com. Or they can call the resort directly.
Okay, 269-7400?
That is correct.
Okay, URL is stonewallresort.com. A lot of good things going on. Thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Okay, we're going to take a break and then we'll return. Hoppy Kercheval's back. We'll find out what's up next on Metro News Talk Line.
Weekdays from 9, it's the Gary Bowden Show on the AJR News Network.
And we welcome back Hoppy Kercheval, host of Metro News Talk Line. Hoppy?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Did you enjoy your time off?
I did.
Were you having
staycation,
fun?
Did some chores around the house.
Oh, that doesn't sound like fun.
Well, I tell you this. We had some things we had to do, and I'm just barely handy enough.
Yeah.
Okay, to try things.
That's about where I am. Yep.
And everything I said on the list to get done on Monday, it was Wednesday, and I think I can get this done by Wednesday.
Yeah,
so it takes longer.
My role is tearing things up. I'm not
you're good at that, right?
I'm not too good at fixing them, but I can break it all down and get it ready for some knowledgeable person to come in. And
there you go. Hey, you got it. Man's got to know his limitations.
That's right, yeah. All right, what's coming up today? We've got a couple seconds here left.
U.S. Senator Joe Manchin West Virginia Congressman David McKinley, West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, all on this court decision on Obamacare, and also Brad Howe on the faltering Mountaineer basketball
team. Oh, ouch, yeah. I wondered if we would have to talk about that this morning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hoppy, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Okay. That's all the time we have for today. Appreciate you joining us this morning. We're going to check in on some other holiday activities heading into Christmas and New Year. So hope you'll be able to stick around and join us. Looks like it's going to be a nice, pleasant week. Yeah, Spike, we can get outside this week. It's going to be very pleasant. So we will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Hope you can join us then. Hey, take care and have a good day.
Harry Green, 7 Acres. Get the Chevy you want.